the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Our most precious Heavenly Father, we come for you this morning to worship you and praise you, give you all the glory, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those many blessings that you've given us. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon everybody here today, each and every one of us, and are those who aren't able to be with us, Lord. I ask your blessing upon Chad as he brings the message here today, Lord. I ask you all these things in Christ's name. Amen. God never removes anything from anyone without giving something better in return to take its place. He used the flood to destroy the world, but he started a new and better world through the righteous family of Noah. Later, God took away political freedom from the Jewish nation, but he gave them a new and better king, the Messiah, he had promised them. The body of the Messiah was drained from his life-giving blood, but God gave us this communion loaf and cup to help us remember our glorious King of Kings. The plan and design of God has always been one of giving and taking. We must be tuned into to the divine plan of give and take. When someone we love or something we value deeply is removed, we should remember God's give and take pattern. What we see as taking may be him actually giving. He may be giving us the opportunity to exercise and affirm our faith and trust in him. This kind of faith can never be taken away. This quiet time around the table of the Lord is not a replacement for what you may think has been taken away from you this past week. Rather, it is an opportunity for us to see the gift that God has given us. Only those who can say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," can find it. Perhaps this will help us see that the losses are not always losses, and gains are not always gains. At the table today, we are reminded that what may look like an end may be a wonderful beginning. Hebrews 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Take this bread and juice, Lord, in remembrance of the sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, made for us on the cross of Calvary. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon these emblems as we partake in them, Lord, and bless everybody here. Get your blessing upon all of us, Lord. We ask all these things in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you guys want to open your bulletin to the first page on the left, save the date. We are going to try to have a VBS this year. A safe VBS, a fun VBS, and there will be a short informal meeting next week, February 28th, after second service. We're going to try to put together a VBS committee so that we can hash out a few things. If you want to be a part of that committee but you're not able to make it, just shoot me an email or get a hold of me or tell Chad, jessica@cosep.org would be my email. So we're going to try to just plan a couple things, very short, informal meeting. The other thing I'd like to draw your attention to is the missions. So there's a little pamphlet. So this is just one of the 14 missions that we serve, and I have a lot of you that approach me about donating directly to the missions and directly to the youth. We have a really awesome group of elders and board members and a great budget. So if I could just encourage you to continue your weekly tithe, most of that is covered, all the youth budget, the missions budget. So we're able to give to these missions because of the weekly tithe. So I guess it's more of a collaborative and direct result of your weekly tithe that our church is able to support these really awesome ministries for Christ. So NEOBC, Northeast Ohio Bible College, is a private 14-acre campus located on Calcutta-Smithfield Smith Ferry Road in Calcutta, Ohio. So they're a four-year Bible college concentrating on ministry. NEOBC was founded in 1995 with a focus to develop pulpit and youth ministers, as well as just Christians who wanted to learn more about the truths of the Bible in order to work in any area within the church and the community. One of the neat things about this college is that it's different, that their tuition is extremely low. So approximately 95% of NEOBC students will graduate with no student loans to repay. That sounds amazing. Another unique quality is that the college maintains that all students, whether full-time or part-time, must attend church services regularly in a local congregation. Students are also encouraged to be involved in the youth and church activities. Many of you may know that our minister, Bob, has served on the board for NEOBC for many years. My husband, Chad, has attended and is currently attending classes there, as well as some other leaders and members of our congregation over the years. I'd like to take a moment and offer a prayer for this mission, so if you could please bow your heads with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for allowing us to worship freely. Thank you for allowing us to make the choice to learn about the truths of the Bible. Thank you for making NEOBC so accessible to the members of our congregation and to our community. I ask that you would allow us to continue to support this mission through the faithful giving of our congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Glad everybody's able to make it today. It was pretty cold out there, so I appreciate you guys making the trek through. One thing I would like to add to Jess's NEOBC is NEOBC has also done an outreach to where they now provide for international students as well. And so they have over 200 international students as well. So that outreach from something that's so local that we support is also a great part of the outreach. So I think that would definitely want to be noted as well. So that's but NEOBC has been great. The guys out there, they're great. As she said, I've been going out there, and they really do teach the word the way the word is supposed to be taught. So it's great. If you can open up your bulletins, we'll keep on going with some of these others. Jess kind of stole my thunder on VBS, so we'll have to talk about that later. I don't think I'll win that one, but maybe we just won't talk about it later. But VBS, we're super excited about that. So I hope you guys get excited. I hope you guys get interactive with it, because we're still going to be probably in COVID protocols. So we're going to need a whole bunch of minds to think through the best way to do this and the safe way to do this. But, you know, so you may be asking, what can I do right now for VBS? Well, one, feel free to pray about it and join the committee, but pray for VBS, that we can continue on. Pray for the local government, the state governments, and stuff like that. They won't shut that kind of stuff down, so we can continue to go with it. Also, on the top left side, you can see that we'd like to start men's prayer breakfast up again soon. So if you're interested in joining that, please see one of the elders so we can kind of get a list of who would like to go to that, who would be wanting to go to that. And that way we can get an idea of the possible attendance of that, so we know where we would have to go, because a lot of the local places are still shut down or struggling. Also, you will see on the back table back there, there's a little envelope like this. It's on the back tables. It's also out on the Welcome Center, and it says special offering from Jim Ostick's, for Jim Ostick retirement. As you guys know, at the end of March, Jim is going to be retiring, and you guys have well known him because he has been very active in our church for the last 25 years. And so this is going to be your way to contribute to that. And what you can see right below that is on March 28th, in between the first and the second service. So we'll have the first service, and then we'll stay put, so that way anybody from the second service can come in. And we're going to do a kind of a special celebration of Jim's time here, and that's where we'll present the gift. So if you would like to give to that, as the elder board, we've, the elders have come together and decided that this is the best way during the COVID time, because you guys know we can't get together, we can't have these meals and stuff. Possibly, you know, we've talked about doing a meal later when all this stuff opens, but this is going to be a celebration service, and this is going to be where we're going to give Jim the gifts and other things to show him how appreciative we have been of him in the last 25 years. If you guys can keep praying, I know that you probably want an update on Sarah. Sarah has been responding well to treatment. So that is an absolute praise to God and God only. The numbers have been coming down. The most recent visit with her doctor had said that they really honestly truly believe that this is because of COVID-19 that she had. They believe it was the outer lining of her kidneys were swelling up, and that's what was causing all of this. So she went through the dialysis last week, still weak every time. If anybody knows anybody that's been through dialysis, it's rough on your system. So she's still weak and recovering. But in this coming week, she has two more, Monday and Friday. Monday and Friday, she has two more. And then hopefully, if everything continues to go well, she'll be done with the treatments and everything should kind of be back to normal where we went. So that's absolute praise to God. It is only through him that healing has come. And we thank, you know, we thank God every day for putting the doctors in the way to kind of point this treatment. So continue to give her the space that she needs to continue to heal and to rest. But continue your prayers that all this continues to be reversible and completely heals itself away. Also pray for everybody else that, in the inside, we have all the prayer requests that are in there. Just take a look at those, and, you know, we just ask that every day you keep this bulletin, every day you keep it, and you pray over those that are there and those other ones that you know. Before we get started with the message today, let's go ahead and go to God in a word of silent prayer. Amen. So today we're going to talk about faith. So we're going to move into Hebrews chapter 11. And as we continue our journey through Hebrews, we'll be moving on to covering right now the Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 and verses 1 through 6. And in an attempt to reach out to the Jewish people in his community, the writer of Hebrews, he would also put their faith to Jesus, but they were beginning to wander away. And the writer of Hebrews made a powerful observation that I wanted to start out with that's not in 11. It actually is in verse 12. And he says, we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And I think that's so important that we start there with that principle, without foundation, as we go into 11. Because what he's saying here is that there will be a lot of things that will distract us. There's going to be a lot of things that we don't ever know. That there will be a lot of, or there's going to be a lot of life experiences that just don't seem to add up. But we're to fix our eyes on the person of Jesus, not necessarily the things that have happened to us or the things that didn't happen for us in our life, but to fix our eyes on Jesus. So what he's saying is, if you've wandered away, or if you're kind of sort of reaching for that door of faith, isn't it true that the real issue here isn't Jesus? It's us. It's an internal thing. And so the question that we want to address today is then, what is this biblical faith and how can I get more of it? How can I do the work of this faith? What does that mean? So today I want to specifically talk about this, and the reason it can be confusing sometimes, you know, one of the reasons that this can be confusing is because everyone has faith. But yet sometimes people believe that faith is just strictly a Christian thing. But, you know, just think about it. We go to doctors when we're not feeling well, and a lot of times they give us a prescription that we can't even say the name of. We don't even really know exactly what it's going to do for us. The doctor just told us it's going to help us. We go to a pharmacist that we don't really know. They give us a medication, again, if you look at the generic term, the name for it, we don't have any idea how to say it. But yet we take it. Now that's living by faith. You know, we just have faith that this doctor knows what he's talking about, or she knows what she's talking about, and that they're doing what's best for us. But the fact is, we can't get through a single day without living by faith. You know, when we flip on a light switch, we have faith that the electrical wiring is going to work. When we mail a letter, we have faith in the Postal Service that they're going to deliver it. Now, you know, that may take 6-7 years, you know, but you'll eventually get it, right? Sometimes, of course, you know, your faith might be misplaced, and we see that a lot in the world. Because faith is only as valuable as the object of that faith. So even when people, they don't claim any religion at all, they still are living by faith every single day. Every human puts faith into something. It may be a notion of human potential. It may be in the supremacy of science or reason of political power, or they may have faith in some vague concept like oneness with nature, but everyone lives by faith. But what does it really mean for us to have good, solid, biblical faith? And this is where our text for today comes in. Like I said, Hebrews 11, it's called the faith chapter. It would be easy to build an entire sermon series on this chapter alone, but today we're just going to focus in on the biblical faith. And next week, Bob is going to be back up here, and he's going to talk about the chapter as a whole and how that goes. So I think it's important for us to begin with and talk about a couple things that, first, that faith is not. First, faith is not some sort of force, all right? It's not some sort of power. Faith isn't some sort of invisible lasso that we get around God's neck, and if we have enough of this faith, and if enough people have enough faith, that we can get God to do things that God wasn't planning on doing. Faith is not a power or a force we tap into. That's called magic. That's paganism. That is not Christian faith. And second, faith is not a formula. You know, faith is not something that you have to figure out. It's not a pin code that you put in and all of a sudden, you know, God starts spurting stuff out for us. It's not complicated. It's not something you have to figure out. It's not a formula. The author of Hebrews says that faith is simple and faith is central. And here's what he says. He writes, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for." Now, he's introduced us another word right here, right? Now, what is hope then? If you're going to say that, what is hope? Hope is wanting something to be with no promise. That's what hope is. Wanting something to be, but there's no promise. You hope to get a raise. You hope to get a bonus. You hope to get married, maybe. Faith happens, or faith is developed, or suddenly there's faith when hope so becomes confidence that something will be so. So the author of Hebrews then makes the same statement a second way. He says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So faith is confidence that God is and will do what he's promised us that he would do. This is basically the working definition of faith as we know it, that faith is confidence that God is and he'll do what he promised to do. And so biblical faith then would be complete obedience to the word because we believe that the word is God-breathed. And how do we know that God will keep his promises? How do we know that when we read all of that? Because faith is simply knowing that God is and that he will do what he has promised to do because God has done, he has kept his promises for what he said he would do. So to get back to our text, here's what the author says next. He says, this kind of faith that we just got them talking about, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then he gives us a whole bunch of illustrations. He goes into a long list of what we're going to call kind of like the Faith Hall of Famers. Or he, as he calls them the ancients. And these were the Jewish people reading this, so they knew all of the stories. So instead of teasing out all these stories, he just goes right through this list of people. Some we may be familiar with, some we may not be familiar with. And then for all of them, he says, by faith, by faith, by faith. And what does he say about that? He says, each of these people, they were given a promise, and they lived as if God existed and that God would keep that promise. That's what it means to live by faith. And he would say that each one of these ancients would agree on one thing, and that is what verse 3 says for us, that by or with faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So just a quick poll here. Who's heard of Abraham? God promised Abraham, and we read about this, God promised Abraham that the entire, basically, nation would grow through him and that people for generations would know his name and know about all of that. Your hand being raised shows the promise that God made that Abraham would never have seen. He wouldn't have seen that. He's gone. But he had faith to continue to do what God said he would do, and God fulfilled that promise. Because here we are 4,000 years later from that time, and we still know who Abraham is. Now that's a pretty powerful promise, and that's a promise that God continues to keep. So the author lays it out for us in a way that makes faith very simple. He gives us the definition, he gives us the examples, then he gives us some contrasts for better understanding. And so at this point, we now have the foundational blocks for what biblical faith is. So now I want to turn the corner here, and I want to get practical application for us today. Because there is something that we need to understand, and that is that simply having faith, it's not enough. It has to be the right kind of faith. We need to have the kind of faith that goes beyond mere belief. And James points this out to us when he talked about faith. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of them says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well-fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." See, faith involves putting what I believe into practice, into action. When I act on what I say I believe, I will be exhibiting that genuine faith. And that's what we see happening in Hebrews 11 with the ancients. By faith, so-and-so did this. With the main point being that genuine faith demands action. And that is what we will see if we are truly sure of what we hope for and are certain of what we cannot see. If we are sure of God and sure of his promise of heaven for those who trust in him, then we will believe everything he has taught us and live in accordance with his commands. And we get that today through his word. And there's another key component of biblical faith and practical application for us that we must live by, and that we live by faith, not by sight. And this is an important component because in today's world, we see everything. Facebook, Instagram, Snap things, and all that. All those apps that are out there where we can see these things. We see everything. And it's easy to start obscuring what we actually believe. But it's important that when it comes to God and biblical faith, that we live by faith, not by sight, not by what we see, because anybody, and we've seen this in the media, anybody can twist a story and make it seem real. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 just points it out, "For we live by faith, not by sight." See, by faith, we step out of our comfort zone and we take risks. By faith, we trust God when he tells us to move, but we have no idea how it will turn out. Philip Yancey once said that faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. See, sometimes we become afraid and we come up with our what-if statements. What if this doesn't work? What if I fail? That's when we need to trust in God who sees what we can't. That's when we have faith that God will equip us to do what he's telling us to do. We cannot be paralyzed by fear when we have the ability to be free. The African impala, it's an animal that originates in Africa. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent jumpers can be kept in an enclosure in the zoo with just a 3-foot solid wall. Why? The impala will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. The impala could be absolutely free But because of their inability to see beyond the fence, they won't jump. See, we all have the ability to clear the fence, but since we're not sure what's on the other side of it, we stay trapped. But if we are willing to live by faith and not by sight, we will come to realize that when we step out of in faith and trust God, we will see positive results from doing what he has commanded us to do. We will see that a gentle answer really does turn away anger. We will find out that when we resist the devil, he will go away. When we go through it, we understand how the testing of our faith develops perseverance. See, these things play out in our lives. They give us the confidence to trust in the rest of the word that God challenges us to believe, that God will never walk away from his promises. Faith proves itself through action, and God shows himself to us when we exercise our faith. But if we give ourselves over to things like skepticism and pessimism, we will miss out on the experience God, or we'll miss out on that experiencing God at his best. If we are people who live in doubt, worry, and fear, we will never get to that higher ground, that incredible and impossible things that are out there for us. They'll just pass us by. But if we are sure of what we hope for, then hope so will turn into be so. If we are certain of what we do not see, then we will certainly see it. If we live by faith, good, solid, biblical faith, then we will live a life of joy and freedom. Ruth Morgan, she wrote a poem, and I really liked this, and I said, you know, I really got to get this in here. She writes about faith. This is what she says. She says, "Sometimes I'm sad. I know not why. My heart is sore distressed. It seems the burdens of this world have settled on my chest. And yet I know that God, who does all things right, will lead me thus to understand to walk by faith, not sight. And though I may not see the way he's planned for me to go, the way seems dark to me, but oh, I'm sure he knows. Today he guides my feeble step, tomorrow's in his right. He has asked me to never fear, but walk by faith, not sight. Someday the mist will roll away, the sun will shine again. I'll see the beauty in the flowers, I'll hear the birds refrain. And then I'll know my Father's hand has led the way to light, because I placed my hand in his and walked by faith, not sight." See, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. With faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So guys, if you've wondered about what faith really is, or maybe because of some of this you wandered, here's what I'd ask. There will always be things that you wonder about, but God's love should never be one of those things. And if you take your eyes off the people, the institutions, the hurt, the broken promises of this world, then the things that have caused you over time to maybe lose some of your faith, and if you'll fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, and the amazement of his perfect love for you, not only will you then be able to understand biblical faith better, but you will also then be well equipped to put that faith into daily action. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you and we love you so much. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us about faith. We thank you for all of the pioneers, all of the ancients that came before that had so much faith. And we just thank you so much for never, ever, ever breaking any of your promises to us. Lord, I thank you for everybody here today. I thank you for those that aren't here, and we just ask that all your prayer requests that are out there, that they be met according to your will. We love you so much, and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.